For all the untested ionomer bays, 13 lines from the bottom, about halfway down the wide line, here the Gemara is going to start talking about the various aspects of how Hashem judges people individually in the world as a whole, etc. Mostly we're going to be talking about the individual judgment of people. There's a few different judgments that we're talking about over here, and there's a bit of a machlokes rishonim with some of the ones we're talking about over here, which one are which. The first one we're going to be talking about is, by its nature, is talking about the annual judgment on Rosh Hashanah. But there's some of the other ones, as we're going to get through, that there's machlokes rishonim whether we're talking about that same annual one or whether we're talking about the one at the end when Mashiach's times, or whether we're talking about the one at the end of a person's life or the one the Moshe Mashiach. By and large, you have those are the three major judgments that a person undergoes. Besides, we mentioned yesterday, the Eibishter judges a person every day. There's the annual one, the annual review on Rosh Hashanah, the end at the exit interview when a person passes away, and the judgment lost in love.
The exit interview.
Yes.
The exit interview.
When a person passes away. There's a famous thing, by the way, that they talk about. The Balei Amos talk about this a lot. If a person's been judged at the end of their life, then what's the need for another judgment when Mashiach comes? Among the many answers to that are that there can be things that a person did during their lifetime which have repercussions long afterwards. We learned in yesterday's Pirkei Avos, for example, that Moshe Zachav Zikas Rabim, Schus Rabim Toliboy, that's all of the schusim of all the Jewish people throughout the generations that all go towards Moshe's credit, because it's all due to him, and conversely with Yerovam and Nevat. But there can be even not necessarily we're talking mitzvahs and averus per se, but there can be, you know, a person does something which somebody else reacts to a certain way, which then, you know, eventually causes a chain reaction that can reverberate down for generations to come. So therefore there needs to be that extra judgment. Anyway. So Amar Rav Chris B'doy, Amar Rav Yechanan, Shloisha Sfarim Niftachim B'Rosh Hashanah. There are three books that are opened on Rosh Hashanah. Echad Shal Rishayim Gemurin, one is the book of the complete Rishayim. Ve'echad shal tzaddikim gemurim, one of the complete tzaddikim, ve'echad shal beinanim, and one of the average people. What do we mean by tzaddikim, beinanim, and rishayim? We'll talk about it in a minute. These aren't the ones of Tanya necessarily. Tzaddikim gemurim nechtavim nechtavim la'al to l'chaim. The tzaddikim gemurim are written and sealed immediately on Rosh Hashanah for life. Rishayim gemurim nechtavim nechtavim la'al to l'misa. The rishayim gemurim are written and sealed immediately for misa. Beinanim, tzluim bo'im de Rosh Hashanah v'adiyam achorim. The Beinanim are hanging there from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Zachu, if they have the schus, I mean they do tshuva, they do more mitzvahs, and they do more mitzvahs, then nechtavim l'chaim, and they're written for life. Zachu nechtavim l'misa. Which, by the way, that alone shows that at least the Beinanim we're talking about over here can't be the Beinanim of Tanya, because how would it be fair to say about them that they're totally in Yom Kippur and Lozach and Nechtav and Lemissa? You know, a Beinanim of Tanya is doing whatever he can.
Because a Beinanim of Tanya is very rare.
But no, it's not. You know, every person is capable of being a Beinanim. Midas a Beinanim, Midas Kolodom, Vacharei Kolodom Yim. How many people actually live up to it is another matter. But so what are we talking about over here in Bechlal? I mean, Mepharshim ask, you know, I mean, obviously it can't mean on the most simplistic level that a tzaddik gomer is destined to live throughout the year and a rosh gomer is going to die that year. We know there's many rishayim gemurim who live for many, many years.
So there's a lot of
different explanations about it. Tosfos says over here briefly that the life and the opposite that we're talking about over here is v'chaya erlam haba. We're not talking about physical life in this world. Other mepharshim say, no, we are talking about physical life, but, for example, when we say tzaddikim gemurim and rishayim gemurim, etc., we can mean, as the Alter Rebbe says in Perek Aleph of Tanya, that there's the true definition of tzaddik and beinoni in Russia, which is what's described in Tanya, but then shema mushal, there's the looser terminology of what means tzaddik beinoni in Russia that's used in connection with the judgment of Yom Kippur. A tzaddik is said as a tzaddik bedinoi, that the Eibishter has judged him favorably, even though maybe he has a lot of averus, but the Eibishter has found good points in him. A Rosh Hagomer would be somebody who does not even that. A beinoni would be somebody who's half and half. So yeah, in the Alter Rebbe's terminology, even that last person is called a Rosh, because half the time he listens to his Yetzer, half the time he's a Rosh because he listens to his Yetzer Hara. But in the terminology of how the Eibishter judges people, then such a person is a Beinoni.
one definition shouldn't exclude another.
Indeed, right. So I mean, there's different definitions for different purposes. We find, for example, when the Torah says, "Enoki the tzaddik al taro," the tzaddik over there is somebody that he may well have committed the crime, but he's tzaddik because the Beis Din exonerated him. You're not allowed to now bring him back to Beis Din and say, "Wait, we have fresh evidence to convict him after all." There's no double jeopardy, basically. A tzaddik is a ish, but for purposes of that pasuk, for purposes of that he won his case, he's considered a tzaddik. Same thing over here. There's various other details also. For example, I think the Ravid says that when we say over here that the Rishayim are written Lemisa, it may mean, you know, this is a person who originally was destined to live 100 years. So fine, you know, now he's being written down Lemisa, you know, so he's not going to live 100 years, he's going to live 70 years, you know, but he's still going to have his, you know, he's still going to have his Yemeshin, Ascended, Behem, Shiv, Mishana, but it's cut down from what he should have had originally. Whereas if he had been a tzaddik, he would have lived out the full thing. Amravav in Micro, what's the pasuk from which we see that you have these three svarim? The pasuk says, David HaMelech davens about his enemies. Yimachu m'sefer chayim, they should be erased from the book of life. V'im tzadikim al yukasefer, and they should not be written with the tzadikim. Yimachu m'sefer is a sifer and shoyim. When he asks, they should be erased from the book, means even the book of the Rishayim. Like they shouldn't even, the Rishayim, as we're going to say, through various kinds of Rishayim, go to Gehenna for a while and they get cleaned up and then they're able to get higher than above. He's davening, they shouldn't even be in the book of the Rishayim. They shouldn't even get to that point. Or some of the Farshim say actually that what David HaMelech is davening is, let him not even live till Rosh Hashanah when these three books are going to be opened up. Let him drop dead before Rosh Hashanah already. Chaim is a different from tzaddikim. When it says that the book of living, this means the sefer of the tzaddikim, who are going to live in Olam Haba, who are going to have more life in this world. Actually, another explanation is also the Misa and Chaim that we're talking about. I think the Ramban says this, is that Misa and the Chaim we're talking about can also include the various kinds of troubles and things that a person can go through during the year. As the expression goes, mali kapla kula, mali kapla palga, what's the difference between killing the whole and killing the half? So like if a person undergoes various tzaddikim during the year, that's a species of Misa. That can mean that he was written and sealed, and vice versa with Chaim, right? Yeah, it can mean that he's going to have a good, that not necessarily just long life, but also that he'll have good things happen to him that year. That's all species of Chaim. Being tzaddikim, I can say there's a different shabbanim, and when it says they should not be written with the tzaddikim, means even in the book of the Rishayim, in the book of the Beinanim. Which, after all, the Beinanim end up being also tzaddik. They end up, you know, if they do right, then they're considered tzaddikim as of Yom Kippur. So that's what he means. Rav Nachum Yitzchak says, here's a different pasuk that illustrates this idea of the three svarim. Moshe Rabbeinu davens, v'im ayin mecheni no mesifrecha asher kasavta. If not, if you don't want to forgive the chet ha'egel, erase me, please, from the book that you wrote. So again, we have a triple expression. Mecheni no is a sifrecha asher kasavta. When he says erase me, means even from the book of the Rishayim. Mesifrecha is a sifrecha tzadikim, means from the book of the tzadikim. Asher kasavta, the book that you wrote, is a sifrecha benedim. What's Moshe Rabbeinu doing in all these three books? One explanation that I saw is, again, based on this idea that what a person does has repercussions on many other people, even long after they pass away. So at this point, after the Chet Ha'egel, Moshe is written in the books of all three kinds of people. Because each of the kinds of people, there's a notation in their book, this person did this and this mitzvah they learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. Or, I mean, even a Rosha has done mitzvahs as well. Even a Rosha has learned Torah. Or whatever. So each person has notations in their book saying this person did such and such because of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe is now saying, if you don't want to forgive the Chet Ha'egel, then remove me from all of those. I shouldn't even be mentioned in any of those connections. Incidentally, there's a number of Maimarim of the Rebbe Maharash where he associates this idea of Shlosh Svarim. Before Maharashim have a field there with what even Shlosh Svarim, maybe doesn't have physical books. Pnei Yeshua says, for example, that this whole thing is just trying to put in terms that we can understand what's going on in the Maimon. Yes, but the Rebbe Maharash explains in several of his Maimonim that these three books are related to the three books that it says in Sefer Yetzirah that they created the world with. V'shloish ha'sforim bar ha'kadosh baruch hu olam, v'sefer, v'sofer, v'sipur. Sefer is chokma, sofer is chokma, sefer is bina. And then Sipur is that. So those relate then to the three svarim that we're talking about over here.
Who says that?
The Rebbe Maharash says it in several of his Maimarim. Yeah. Tanya, we learn in a place of the Shamarim. Gimel Kittetain L'Yom Adin. There are three groups of people when it comes to the Yom Adin. Now here Rashi says the Yom Adin we're talking about is at Tzias HaMeisim. So we're not talking, before we were talking about the individual judgment every year. Now we're talking about the final judgment, the final judgment, the Ketz HaYamin. Achas for tzaddikim gemurim, one of the complete tzaddikim, v'achas for rishayim gemurim, one of the complete rishayim, v'achas for beinanim. Tzaddikim gemurim nechtavim nechtavim la'altu l'chaya olam. The tzaddikim gemurim are immediately written and sealed for eternal life, although they'll have tzeis emesim and they'll live forever in Yemei Mashiach. Rishayim gemurim nechtavim nechtavim la'altu l'gehenim. The complete rishayim are written and sealed immediately for gehenim. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "V'rabim mi'sheni admas ofer yipitzu." Many of the people who are now sleeping in the dust will rise up. And the Ritva says, "Why many people?" It's a lot on a pasuk, but why does the pasuk say many people? He says, because for one thing, you have some tzaddikim who are going to have tzeis emesim earlier. We know this famous idea that there's some tzaddikim that are going to have tzeis emesim, some exceptional tzaddikim are going to have tzeis emesim right at the beginning of Yemei Mashiach. The general run of people will have later. So at that point, there'll be rabim, most of the people. I don't know. I'm not going to put people in categories, but yeah, there is this concept. The Rebbe did talk about a lot in Sichas, this idea of those two stages in Tzitzis and Eitzimim. So, Eilu L'chaya Olam, some of them will be getting up for eternal life. These are the Tzaddikim Gemurim that we said. The Eilu L'charof is the Dirun Olam, and the other ones will be for embarrassment, for eternal shame. That's the Rishayim. Beinanim Yodim L'Gehenim, the Beinanim also go down to Gehenim. These are the ones who have half mitzvahs, half averus, Rashi says. They go down, and they cry out from the Yisurim for a short time, and then they come out. They're going to come out because they're Beinanim, but they do have to spend a little time in Gehenim. The previous people, by the way, the Rishayim, were we talking about also when we said Gehenim, do they mean forever in Gehenim? No, some of the poets say that just means for up to 12 months. We'll talk about that soon in connection with some of the other groups. The Marsha, the different explanation of Mitzafim. Marsha says that Mitzafim means that they praise Hashem. As we're going to quote soon from Sukkim, they praise and they daven to Hashem, and that's all they need in Gehenim, and then they come out.
Someone who never learned Torah throughout his life, but yet he did very good deeds.
So the Rambam says a general rule. I mean, after all, we don't know how the Eibishter counts mitzvahs and averus. You know, it's the Eibishter's judgment, not ours. There's going to be a big mitzvah that counts connected several averus and vice versa. But that's the basic idea, is that, you know, that's one you can have. I mean, the Eibishter looks at the totality of things. So a person never learned Torah, for example, you know, and that has to be taken into consideration. But yeah, their mice and Torah have to be taken into consideration also. Everything is weighed out. Yes. Well, muftach leshuv ben olam haba means that he's a person who he's the kind of person who deserves olam haba. Obviously, it can't mean. I mean, for example, you can even have a case where chas v'shalom where somebody toya al rishonis, where somebody did mitzvahs and later on they regret. Oh, why did I bother doing those mitzvahs? Then he loses the schutz for those. I think we talked about that in Yuma, I think.
Yes.
But so obviously when we say ben olam haba, it doesn't mean it's a given that he's going into olam haba. It means that he's on the right path. So yeah, he has the potential, but yeah, he still has to live up to it. Yeah. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, the pasuk says, I'll bring the third group through fire. So we're understanding here that the third group means the beinim. I will refine them like you refine silver in a furnace. And I'll test them like you test gold, like you would say gold. This is the beinim we're saying, yeah. Who yikravishmi? They will call out in my name. Vania and oisa, and I will answer them. This is why Marsha says that the metaphysin means that they cry out, they daven to the Eibishter. Ba'aleim, Omra Chana, and on such people, Chana said, Hashem meimisum chaya, morid sho'ol vayol. Hashem kills and he makes alive, this is tchit amesim, morid sho'ol, he brings them down into sho'ol, vayol, and then he brings them up. This is the Beinanim, where we just said, go down to sho'ol, to Gehenim for a short time, and they come up. That's what Beit Shammai said. Beit Hillel says, I agree with you as far as the tzaddikim and the rishayim, but the rab chesed mata klape chesed. When the pasuk says in the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim, which we'll talk about more on the Beis, that the Eibush says v'rab chesed v'emes, that v'rab chesed means mata klape chesed, means he tilts scale towards chesed. Meaning these beinanim, that since they're half and half, and the Eibush will tilt the scale, the Eibush will put his thumb on the scale, so to speak. We'll talk about towards the end of the Amud how what the various possibilities are, and therefore they don't have to go down to Gehenna.
At all.
Valeim Omar David, and these are the kind of people that David is talking about when he says, "Ahavti ki yishma Hashem es koli." I love when Hashem hears my voice. Valeim Omar David, kol parsha kula daloisiv li Hashia, and on them David says that entire parsha, that entire section beginning from Ahavti until kol adam koziv, is talking about these beinanim. where, for example, they say, Daloisi v'li Yeshia, I'm poor of mitzvahs, I only have half mitzvahs and half of Eretz, but yet the Eibishter saves me, he's Rav Chesed, he has extra Chesed, and saves me. He's not saying about himself, he's speaking on behalf of the Jewish, on behalf of the Benjamim, yeah. Tosfos brings another explanation that Daloisi, in the Lashon, Daloi Dolo, he lifted us out. Daloisi, he lifted me out, v'li Yeshia, and he saves me. Tosfos explains a little more that there's other psukim that also imply that we see that they don't end up in Gehenna Mishalach with Hashem out of the Chaim. Marsha has a very long explanation where he explains pasuk by pasuk that whole half of the capital, how the whole thing refers, how he explains actually that it refers to all three groups that you have over there, the tzaddikim, kihita oznali v'yomai ekra, you have the rishayim, afafuni chevle mavet, and then you have the beninim, the daloisi v'li yoshia. We said it's part of Halo, yeah. Continues the Braisa, Poshe Yisrael Begufan, Jewish people who do Averus with their bodies, which we'll talk about later what that means, or Poshe Umas Olam Begufan, and people of the Goyim who do Averus with their bodies, Yodin the Gehenim and Yodin Yod Beis Chodesh. They go down to the Gehenim, and they're judged there for 12 months. La'acha Yod Beis Chodesh, Gufan Kola, after 12 months, their body is consumed, V'nishmasen Nisrepet, and their Nishama gets burnt as well, and a wind scatters them, as Hagoyes Habach adds the word v'nasin offer, that they become dust tachas kapas ragla tzedikim, under the feet of the tzedikim. Now we're talking about some mafarshim say it means that the neshama, which was just burnt, we think it's scattered under their feet. Other mafarshim take very strong issue with that, and they say no, the neshama is an eternal thing. The neshama is a chelik of the kani mal mamish; it cannot possibly get destroyed. It means the body. I mean the remnant, what's left of the body is group and color, an option to surface, but the body is what ends up as this dust, as this ashes. And the body as well. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, you will trample on the rishayim. Because they will be dust under the soles of your feet. So what does that mean? So the Ramban has an expression that he says the tzaddikim we're talking about, this is lasid lover. The tzaddikim are going to be enjoying Gan Eden, lasid lover, Yemos Mashiach, etc. These people that we're talking about, the Poshe Yisrael and Poshe Umas Olam Begufan, they're not going to be able to enjoy that reward. So therefore, we describe them as being, like, so to speak, under the feet of the tzaddikim. On the other hand, we're saying they're not getting punished either. It's like it's a special kind of rasha. The Gemara is going to talk about soon that they did certain kinds of averus. So like they don't get punished forever. That's the next group we're going to be talking about. But like they're kind of in limbo. These Poshe Yisrael and Poshe Umas Olam Begufan are kind of, the Ramban explained that this business about them being ashes represents the idea like they're in limbo. They can't go to Gehenim and be cleansed over there, but they also can't go to Gan Eden. So they're like stuck under the feet of the Rishayim, under the feet of the Tzaddikim. There's a similar thing. That the Rebbe once talked about in a sicha, that there's the idea that when they're there under the feet of the tzaddikim means that they're so to speak they're helping to raise up the tzaddikim, like, you know, the tzaddikim are standing on them, which means like they're higher than they would otherwise be. So that represents the idea. They still do have some kind of shaychus with the tzaddikim, but they have this fire that they know that, you know, they can see what's going on over there in Gan Eden, and they can't participate in it. That's what we're talking about. Avol, now we have group number five. There's a few different definitions of what it means. Minim means, for example, tzedukim and baitrusim, people who misinterpreted the Torah. Vamasoros, people who master other Jews, or Rashi says not even Jews themselves, but Jewish money to goyim. Where the Gemara talks about towards the end of Bava Kamma, there's a whole sugya where the Gemara talks over there about the seriousness of Mesira. That even mastering a Jew's property to goyim is considered a terrible avera. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last perek in Agoyzel Machil. Actually, in Agoyzel Leitim rather. Vamasurus, and apikursim. Rashi says over here means people who are mevazel tamid chachamim, who like say, well, you know, what are the chachamim already accomplishing for us? Or, you know, everything we want to know of the Torah we have already on our own. Shekafru b'Torah, people who are kofir in the Torah. For example, Rashi says they say that the Torah is not minashamayim.
He doesn't say
minashamayim, do you? It says, that's right. In my Gemara it doesn't, but you're right. There are some Gemaras that point out that it's supposed to say here v'mishamodim also. Mishamodim, people who shmata from another religion. Yeah, it took it out from the censor, yeah.
Because
the censor took it out, yeah. V'apikur shekafru b'Torah, they're kofir in the Torah. They said it's not minashamayim. V'shekafru b'tcheis ha'meisim, or they deny tcheis ha'meisim. and people who separated themselves from the ways of the Tzibur. So Rashi says, I don't like that Girsa over here because all these people that we were describing before are all Polish Midachet Tzibur. They're all, the Jewish people have a certain way of doing and believing and whatever, and these people separated. What are they, a separate group? The Rambam has a different explanation. The Rambam says you do put it in, you do keep it in. Shapir Shemudachet Tzibur means people, they're learning Torah, they're doing Talak HaMachamura, they're doing every mitzvah, but like they hold themselves separate from the people. The people are having a tzara, they're all fasting and davening, whatever, no concern of mine.
That's the same.
Yeah, so they're not involved in the tzara, so they're the joys of the Jewish people, yeah.
Don't feel the pain
of
the Jews.
No. And people who put their terror in the land of the living, we'll talk about soon what that means. Wait. And people who sinned and called other people to sin, like in last week's Pirkei Avos, and Yeravim and Nevat Chaverav, all those kinds of people, Yodin Gehenim and Yodin Meladorah Dorah. They go down to Gehenim and they're judged in there for generations upon generations. The Rambam has a different definition, by the way, of these minim and apikursim and so forth. Basically, the Rambam defines them in terms of the Yud Gimel Ikrim that he himself defined in the Akdamot HaPerek Chelek, the 13 basic beliefs of Yiddishkeit. Basically, he says minim are people who don't believe in one or another of the things about Hashem himself. For example, they believe that there's more than one God, or he has a body, or whatever, all those kinds of things. The apikursim are the ones who don't believe that Hashem involves himself with the world, that he doesn't speak the Nevi'im, that the Moshe's Nevuah is nothing special, that sort of thing, and the Kofar B'Torah, which is Kofar B'Tches Mesim, are people who are Kofar in any of the other things. They say the Torah can be changed, or there's no Tches Mesim, and there's no Yemoitz Mashiach, etc.
That's Yidden.
We're talking about Yidden, yeah. Okay. So whatever it is, as the pasuk says, the yotzu v'ro b'figur ha'anoshim, they will go out. This is talking Mashiach times. Everybody will come l'shtach v'sefanai, but they'll go out and see b'figur ha'anoshim aposhim b'vagimra. They'll go out and see the carcasses, the dead bodies of the people who rebelled against me. The pasuk continues, kiselat v'lotzomus v'yishom l'sichbe. Their worms will never die, and the fire for them will never go out. And the Gemara says, Gehenim kol avahem einin kolin. Gehenim will be used up. Gehenim will end, and they still won't end. Shenema, well, what does that mean? I'll tell you in a second. Shenema, the apostle says, v'tzurum levalis sh'ol. Their tzura, their form, levalis sh'ol, will wear out sh'ol. Sh'ol meaning Gehenim. So like they'll still be around when Gehenim is gone. So what does that mean? So what does that mean? So some Mephoshim say it means in a negative sense. In other words, even though come a point when there's no more Gehenna, in Mashiach times, but nevertheless, these guys will still be having their punishment. It won't be a Gehenna because there won't be a Gehenna anymore, but they'll still have their embarrassment. Like we said before, Lacharof is the Judah, they'll be standing over there eternally embarrassed. There are some other Mephoshim, in particular, the Ramah Mifano has a more positive take on it. He says, Fakek, it's sort of like the Pasuk in Parshat Hazinu, where the Eibishter wounds the Yidin, Chitzai Achalabom, I'll use up my arrows on them. And Rashi says that it's actually, there's a hidden bracha, and even when all the arrows are used up, we're still going to be there. So therefore, the Ramah Mifano says a similar thing, the Asarah Mamarit says a similar thing on this, that it means that eventually Gehenim will be gone, and these guys will still be around. They won't have been destroyed. In fact, he actually says that L'Dorda Dordas over here means a maximum of 4 Dordas. Such people are punished in Gehenim. But no more than that. And after that, I guess, I don't know what happens.
Like a Dordas in this world?
Yeah, 4 Dordas in this world, yeah. Why do they get such a harsh punishment? More than the 12 months that everybody else gets? Because they put out their hands against the Zvul. The Zvul literally means a dwelling place. Like Zvulun was called that because Leah says on herself, now my husband will make a permanent dwelling with me that I have 6 sons. I have half as many, I have as much children as all his other wives. So, Shenema means Zvul Loi. The Pasuk said that same Pasuk that we just quoted, but Surum Levala Shom is Zvul Loi because of his Zvul. What is Zvul? In Zvul, the Beis Mikdash. The word Zvul refers to the Beis Mikdash. Shenema, Bonni Bonni, the Beis Zvul Lach, like Shlomo HaMelech says when he's dedicating the Beis Mikdash, I have built a house of Zvul for you. So we're saying all these people, Minim, the Masoros, the Mishmadim, etc., they all caused the Zvul to be destroyed, the Beis Mikdash to be destroyed, like Yeravim and Nevatim company. And Orach HaNer adds, even what about the Minim and so forth who live after the Beis Mikdash is destroyed? Still, we have the famous expression, Kol Mi Shelenivna Beis Mikdash B'Yamav Kilo Nechra B'Yamav. Any generation where the Beis Mikdash was built in their time, it's as if they destroyed it. So also, these are people who are preventing the Beis Mikdash from being rebuilt. So therefore, they're putting out their hands, Zvul Loi, against the Eved Zvul, and therefore they get this. Balaam, Omer Chana Havaye Hashem Yichatu Merivav. On such people, Chana says, Hashem, those who fight against him will be crushed, will be broken. Yechatu meaning Meloshin Al Tirov Al Techos. Don't be afraid and don't be broken. Omer Yitzchak Ba'Oven, Ufneim Doimim Lashulik Deir. Yitzchak Ba'Oven says their faces are going to be like the bottom of a pot, like the bottom of a pot that's seared and blackened by the. That's how they'll be after what they go through. Ba'Amar Rava, and Rava says Inu Mishfirish Shfirib Nei Mechuda. These are. I'll give you an example. What kind of people we're talking about? These are the best of the best of the people of Mechuda. Mechuzah is a city in Babel. Oh, Rava, we talked about Mechuzah before. Yeah, we had an Erevin, for example. We had in various places. Rashi just summarizes them here. Munogim Ushmenim Hayu. They lived in luxury. They were very fat, very comfortably. So they're the best of the best of those kinds of people. Umikarian B'nei Gehenim. They're going to be called children of Gehenim. So what does that mean? So some of Hashem say, Rava is saying, you know, that he lived in Mechuzah his whole life. He was born there. He grew up there. He was the Rav and Rosh Shiva there. So he knew what the people there are like. He knew they're not what they should be. So he's warning them, basically, you know, you guys are on the road to being this kind of thing, and you're going to have these black faces, lots of love.
Here he's telling him
the best the people who think of themselves as the best of the best of Mechuzah, yeah, they're going to be the ones. There's other Mepharshim, there's other Gersoids that seem to say a little differently. That actually what
they
we're saying
live
is
in the city
that,
of complete
shame, right? No, not there were some people in the town, that's it. But there's other explanations. One of them is that what the Gemara is saying is these people, even after everything they go through in Gehenna, are still going to be nicer looking than the beautiful people of Mechuzah nowadays. Yeah. In other words, they're going through a searing thing in Gehenna, but still they're going to come out. You know, they're going to come out looking black, but still, shchoran even nava, kind of, I'm black but beautiful. There are, by the way, also some kisvei yad that say that this last part that we said over here about that their faces are going to be black is not referring to the ones that we said that are in Gehenna with Beredurit, but rather the Beinanim from before. The Beinanim, who according to Beis Shammai, go for a short time into Gehenna and then they cry out, or according to Marsha, they daven and they get out, but just from that short time in Gehenna already, their faces are going to be black. Ben Yoyada says, why if it's their faces? Because the face is what shows what kind of aveir the person did. Well, you look at them, you'll look at their faces, and you'll be able to see the effect of it. Okay, so thus far the Braisa. The Braisa seems to have summarized like this. We have Tzaddikim, we have Rishoyim, we have Tzaddikim Gemurim who have Chaya Olam Haba. We have Rishoyim Gemurim who go to Gehenna. We have the Beinanim. We said Beshamai says they go for a short time into Gehenna and then they come out. And Basil says Matach Abechesa, that they should put the thumb on the scales to make it that they'll have Chosim after all, and they wanted to go to Gehenna. Then we brought in a few other groups of people. We said the Poshi Yisrael Begufon, and Poshi Yisrael Ulam Begufon, the ones that we said are 12 months in Gehenna and then they get burnt, etc. And then we had the ones that Yod in the Gehenna and Yod in the Dora Dora, the ones that go into Gehenna for generations upon generations. So far we have five. So wait. So now, Omamar, so we said, the Braith had said, Bitzil, Verab Chesed, Matakab Chesed. That Verab Chesed means that the Ebishter bends the scale towards Chesed. So what is Bitzil doing with that topic about I'll bring the third group through fire? The answer is, possible Poshi Yisrael B'Gufan. That's referring to one of the other groups that we talked about, the Poshi Yisrael B'Gufan. Amen. That's how Bitzel would understand it. But they're the shlishes. They're the third group. No. Fakir. Bitzel is saying like this: When does the Eibishter push the balance? When somebody is a Beinim? When does the Eibishter send them down? When do we say Veivesei Hashlishes Veish that I'm going to bring them through fire and have to go through the Gehenim? That's referring to the Poshi Yisrael B'Gufa. That's what I mean. Parshis Rabbi Gufan Va'amid Letzlo Takanta. You just said that there's no Takanta for them, that they're going to end up being their body is going to be burnt, their shama is going to be burnt, they're going to be ashes, etc. What do you mean? The pasuk implied that they're going to come out of it. They say it's a shlishis ve'esh. I'm going to bring the third group through fire, but then they're going to be refined and they're going to come out of it. Who yikri b'shmi v'aniyah and oisai. Whereas we said the Parshis Rabbi are goners. Yeah.
The answer is, ki laslahu takana b'roiva bonus. What are we talking about? Where the Braitha said that the Poshi Yisrael b'gufon and Poshi Yisrael b'gufon are like that. They're goners is only when they have mostly avedas. So if you have, in other words, so within Rishayim themselves, so far we're saying there's two different types. A regular, so to speak, a regular run-of-the-mill Rasha has his time in Gehenim, Nachtamim and Nachtamim Al-Tav Gehenim, but eventually they come out of there.
But
and then you have somebody who, among his mostly Averis, which he said is what we mean in Shoyim Gemurim, also one of them is Poshi, so Abba Gufan, then they're the ones who end up with the burning thing, where they get burnt into ashes.
Those are the ones who only have...
who have mostly Averis, who are Shoyim Gemurim. Again, what does Shoyim Gemurim mean? There are some of Poshim say Shoyim Gemurim means just that. They have no mitzvahs at all. You know, but yeah. But also among the Averis is Poshi, so Abba Gufan. What we're talking about here then is the Beinanim who are half mitzvahs and half averus, the Isra, who nami of the Poshi Yisrael B'Gufan, but among their half of averus is the Avera of Poshi Yisrael B'Gufan, which we're going to define in a minute what it means. Relax. So therefore, loy sagile delav v'hevesias ashlishes v'hesh, so therefore, it won't be enough for them without going through the fire. So in other words, even among the Beinanim themselves, we're saying there's two different groups. There's a regular run-of-the-mill Benini who has half mitzvahs, half averus, but has not been Poshi Yisrael B'Gufan. So he, Vitzil is saying, V'nav chesed, matzah klap echesed, the Eivishter loads the scales, and therefore he comes out Zakha B'Din.
As opposed to where half of the averus
includes Poshi Yisrael B'Gufan, then they have to go into Gehenim for the short time. Then they agree with the Shammai that they have to go into Gehenim and Tzatz Finbarlim. And if not, then the Eibishter has great kindness, which means he pushes it towards chesed. And those are the kind of people that David is talking about when he says this next part. Balein is the next quotation from the Braisa. The Braisa said, Balein amad David haftik yishma Hashem. On them, David said, I love when Hashem hears the sound of my voice. What does this pasuk mean? I love when Hashem hears my voice. What, we only love Hashem when he hears our voice and otherwise not? No, it means, the Jewish people say to the Eibishter, when is it obvious that I'm beloved by you, when you listen to the voice of my tefillah. That's what shows. Yeah. And when the pasuk continues, a couple of psukim later, Zaloisi v'liyoshia, Afa pishadala anim in mitzvahs, even though I'm poor from mitzvahs, so again, we're talking about these beinanim who only have, throughout their whole life, they only manage to do half mitzvahs, half of it. Nevertheless, li noy l'yoshia, it's appropriate that Hashem should save me, and that's what we said, the matzik v'apichetim. Poshi Yisrael B'Gufan, I knew. What is the definition of Poshi Yisrael B'Gufan? Omar Rav, he used the famous expression, kakakta b'lemanach tefillin, a head that did not put on tefillin. Now, there's a lot to talk about this, actually. Tosfos points out, we're not just talking about, for example, you could have somebody who didn't put on tefillin, let's say, for example, so Tosfos gives one example, somebody who's Otsik Batorah. Technically, he's part of tefillin. In the Bar Mitzvah, I'm actually say. Not necessarily all his life, maybe, but whatever. Tosfos says, "Oisik patera kemeniach tefillin dami." Oisik patera potter menach tefillin. Yeah. I mean, we learn in the Bar Mitzvah Maimer that Omer Yisrael of Ne'akarish Baruch Hu, we want to learn Torah day and night, but we don't have time. So the Eibishter says, "Time mitzvah tefillin, not considered as if you learn Torah day and night." So here, Tosfos is telling us the other way around. Conversely, if a person is learning Torah day and night, then technically he's potter from tefillin. So we're not talking about that. Second of all, Tosfos points out, you can have the case, for example, we know that tefillin, you need a gufnaki, you need to have a clean body. So what if you have a person who doesn't put on tefillin because he doesn't feel it, he's able to keep himself clean? Well, we're not talking about that either. So Tosfos says we're talking about that actually, that he, the mitzvah is bzuya on him. He considers like the mitzvah is not, I don't want to have leather straps on my head. Like, and the Friedrich Rebbe tells in the Kutta Deburim, the long story, the Friedrich Rebbe tells about a guy, Rav Moshe, his name was Shmuel Tzadik of Prague, and later on he had two sons, Rav Moshe, and I think Rav Yaakov was the other one. Moshe was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but he had no Yiras Shemayim at all. He ended up being a Rosha for many, many years. The long story, how his nephew finally went and got him to the Shuvah. So a very, very long story that you could ever tell there. But when he finally does tshuva, he starts reminiscing. He says, you know, when I put on tefillin, you know, my mother was very happy about it. My father was like, you know, what a shtut you're putting on, you know, you're taking a piece of a skin of a cow and putting it on you, you know. That's the kind of thing that Tosfos is saying. No, it was the son. This Moshe is remembering when he's an old man, when he's 86 years old, he's reminiscing back to when he was a child what his father used to say. Yeah. We're not talking about tefillin the whole day. There are other Rishonim who talk about the idea that what we mean by kakaftav lemanak tefillin can also be not just that he considers it a bizoyan, like he did, like the leather, like we were just talking about, but even like, for example, he's too lazy to do it. Now, with that, and one more thing, I think the Ram says, we don't only mean tefillin. The Gemara is just giving tefillin as an example of a mitzvah. The same thing would be, I think the Ram says, any other mitzvah that a person does not do his entire life.
But if he puts tefillin, he still feels to be Zion. It should be your tefillin.
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, at least he's putting them on, but I don't know. Maybe.
Halachically,
I don't know. So one second. There are many Rishonim, and the Rambam also writes this way, that have the Gittus over here in the Gemara, not just Kakakta Zlaymanach Tfilin, but Kakakta Zlaymanach Tfilin Me'olam, who never put on Tfilin. This is where we get in Lubavitcher jargon, when we go to do Mitzvah, where we get the expression of Kakakta, somebody who never put on Tfilin, that comes from our Gemara over here. Because once at least, he put so the Rebbe, when the Rebbe started to mitzvah Tfilin, and there were many objections about it from different, the Rabbi Yoilish said, the Satmar Rebbe objected, and there were many other Rabbanim of that time who objected on various grounds. One thing the Rebbe pointed out is based on this. At least a person puts on Tfilin one time in his life, okay, he may not have a lot of other mitzvahs, but at least he's not in this category of Poshi Yisrael B'Gufan anymore. By the way, the Rebbe wasn't the first to do this. 700-800 years ago, the Smag, the Moshe Mikutzi, one of the Baalei HaTosfos, also went around, he was going around from community to community, darshaning and trying to get people to do tshuva, and in particular, doing a tefillin campaign at that time. It was a tefillin of 800 years ago. He writes that he got many people to start putting on tefillin again. And a generation later, the Sefer HaChinuch writes about it. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, there were many people in those times also who objected to it. Like, you know, what are you bothering putting tefillin on people? And they argued, after all, tefillin tzrichim guf naki, and you have all the other, much the same kind of arguments that people made against the Rebbe. So the Sefer HaChinuch, was written about a generation after the Smag, after the whole mitzvah tefillin, writes, you know, in Hanami, I mean, these people have a certain point. But after all, I mean, tefillin is such a basic mitzvah. He says it's a gateway to many other mitzvahs. It's worth it to do in every as much as possible to get people to do it.
It's the
inside of this mitzvah. Yeah. So that's Poshi Yisrael B'Gufan. It's Kakakta L'Manach Tefillin. Some of you never put on tefillin. Poshi Umas Olam B'Gufan. What does it mean, people of the Umas Olam who do Aveiros with their bodies? It means that they do Aveira, which means that usually in the Gemara, Aveira, unspecified, means Nus. Goyim Achayiv and Sheva Mitzvahs. One of them is they're not allowed to do various kinds of Arayas. They have a smaller set than we do, but they still have a set of Arayas they're not allowed to do. So when they do, that's Pershe Yom Asar Lam Gufa. We say, "Veshenosnu chitisim be'eretz chayim." People who put their terror in the land of the living. What does this mean? Amar Rav Chisda, the parnas hamakal eimei yaseir ala tibur shalad l'shem shemayim. This means the parnas, a community leader who puts a great deal of eima, who makes people fear him on the tibur shalad l'shem shemayim. If he's doing it l'shem shemayim to get them to do the right thing, that's a good thing. But he's doing it just for his own covet or whatever. Even though Mefarshim say it might even be that because of that they end up doing the right thing. But he's not doing it with Shem Shemayim, then he's held responsible. That's what it means. Shenatzu chitisim be'eretz chayim. Shenatzu chitisim. That's what their fear. Be'eretz chayim, in the land of living. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav called Parnas Hamakal Eima Yiseir Ala Tzibur. Parnas who puts extra Eima on the Tzibur. Shalom L'Shem Shemayim. Ainu Roya Ben Tamar Chacham. He will never see that he has a son of Tamar Chacham. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Lachen yireuhu anafshim." Therefore, because people fear him, lo yira kochach meleiv. He won't see any people of wise heart, meaning any descendants who are tamar chachamim. Why one reason that's given is because a parnas ala tzibur is supposed to be a tamar chacham himself. So because he misused his position, therefore he'll end up not having children who are not tamar chachamim, who are not suitable to be parnasim ala tzibur, and therefore he won't be able to give over his position to them. Another idea is because you have to have murder for Tamar Chachamim, so he's having people have inappropriate murder for him, so he won't have the schus that they'll have murder for his children in the proper way. Going back to the Braita, it said, V'tzul oimim v'rav chesed matakwa v'chesed. The V'tzulah said that v'rav chesed means that the Eibishter tilts the scale towards the side of chesed, by Beinanim. We said, so that's what we're talking about, Beinanim who are not Toshi Yisrael B'gufan. So basically it comes out then we have actually six different groups. We have regular tzaddikim, regular Beinanim, Beinanim who also have Toshi Yisrael B'gufan, Rishoyim, one of the mill Rishoyim, Rishoyim who also have Toshi Yisrael B'gufan, and the sixth group is the Minim and the Masoros and so forth. So, Heichi Ovid, when we say that the Eibishter tilts the scale towards Chesed, what does he do? Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Kovshei. He says that he pushes it down. He pushes down the size of the mitzvahs, so it's heavier. Or Rashi has an explanation in Erchin that it means that the Eibishter hides the Avera. Like he hides it away. Yeah, and yet another explanation I've seen, I don't remember from one of the Rishonim, I think the Ritva, says that Kovshe means that the Eibishter squeezes it, he compresses it down, so it's not as big. Shenema Yoshev Rachamenu, Yichbo Shavenesenu. As the Pasuk says, he'll return and have Rachmanos on us, and Yichbo Shavenesenu, he'll press down, or whatever it is, our Averis. Rabbi Yosef Achanina says he lifts up the side with the Averis, so that way it's lighter. Shenema no se oven roi ra pesha. It says he picks up the oven and he forgives the pesha. Tonet ve Rabbi Shmuel, mavu rishin v'cheni amida. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned that the Eibishter takes away the first one, v'cheni amida, and that is the midah. So what does that mean? There's many, many different explanations what that means. Rashi over here says that it means like this. We say mavu rishin, we say when you say kemelach, yeah, every time, yeah. Rashi says like this, it means when the Eibishter is bringing all the Averis and then getting ready to put him on the scale, he takes off the first Avera and puts it aside. Then he weighs all the other ones. If it comes out, then what's going to happen? If you had left that one Avera, it might be half and half. Like this, by taking away that one Avera, now the mitzvah side is heavier. So the guy is considered a tzaddik. If not, then he's one second. And v'cheni amida would mean, and that's the midah. That's how the Eibishter does it.
Why is it Rishon?
One second. Amar Rava v'oven atzma ein nimchak. But Rava says that one avera itself is not erased. The ikar ruba avernus machshav adayu. If there's more averus than mitzvahs, it still gets counted with them. In other words, what happens if, after all, you took off that one avera and then you measure and you have half and half? Well, then it means with that one avera, it's more averus, so then it counts. The Eibishter doesn't forgive it after all. The cheshbon is, in other words, that at least you have a chance if you are half and half that you'll be half and half only if you have a chance of even if you were half and half when it comes to the Yom HaDin, because the first Aveda is taken away, now you're not half and half, now you're to the side of the foot.
Even if it's the first one is the first,
it doesn't seem to be making a distinction. Now that's Rashi's explanation. The Rif brings two different explanations. One of them comes down to that if you have a person who Rishon, he says the Rishon, first by first, means basically, so you have, let's say you have a person who basically did mitzvahs his whole life, but then, you know, a couple of times he stumbled and did the wrong thing. So then what the Eibishter does is, the first couple of times he does it, up to three times, we learned at the end of Yuma that the Eibishter is willing to forgive up to three times, so up to three times, Rishon, the first couple, the Eibishter takes away and sets aside. If it turns out afterwards that if the person has more Averis than mitzvahs after all, then it goes right back on the scale, but at least to begin with, the Eibishter is willing to set those aside.
That's everybody? That's
what we're saying. Adam Yosher v'tamim b'drachav, a person who is generally upright in his ways, im nichshol b'chet ba'adayim le'bachet v'yodem me'odoy, so he was nichshol in Avera, where he had not previously done Avera, oseh achet en HaKadosh Baruch Hu kodesh v'ol, of that sin the Eibishter doesn't write for him, elam avira, he takes it away, v'chachem yidasa shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalei v'chayim mitchila, that's the midah of Hashem not to make him guilty right away. And he gives him up to three strikes.
That means my will of Amidah.
Yeah, that's one explanation. The second explanation that the Rif says, is that it's somewhat similar, but the idea basically is that we're talking about that if the Eibishter takes away, and the Rambam writes similarly that what the Eibishter does is when we have a person who's basically been good, but he slipped up a few times, then like the first couple of Averis, not necessarily the first time we're talking about the first couple of times he did the same thing. The second time we're talking about the first of various different Averis. the Eibishter will take away and set aside. And the Rambam writes, there's no limit. It's not like the first explanation of the Rif that it's only up to three times. It can be any number of times. So you take away the first Aveda, the second one now becomes the first. You take away the first two, the third one now becomes the first, etc. So as many times as is necessary, because we're talking about somebody who's basically, he's done mitzvahs, and just, you know, there's a couple of stray Avedas here and there. But after all, Rav is saying, the oven atme is not nimchak, that after all, you know, there still is a count at the end, or weighing, whatever, mitzvahs versus avedas, and if it comes out that these, that if it comes out there's already more avedas on the scale than mitzvahs anyway, then those go right back on.
But if there's not more?
If there's not more, then that's what they're saying, that they should forgive them for them.
So they are, right?
Somebody who overlooks his midos, like other people call him tsar, and he doesn't do anything. He doesn't get back at them. He leaves alone his midos. Ma'avir amayar kopshav. The Eibishter overlooks all his pshayim. Also, the Eibishter is willing to let him go easy. And an example. Shenema noisei oven va'ovra pesha. As the pasuk says, that Hashem lifts up oven and forgives and overlooks pesha. L'min noisei oven. Who does the Eibishter forgive? Avedus l'misha ovra pesha. For somebody who's willing to overlook what other the crimes that other people have done against him. And an example of that. Rav Huna b'Reidu Rav Yeshua Chalosh. Rav Huna b'Reidu Rav Yeshua one time was sick. All Rav Papel shoyu libei. Rav Papel came to be mivaka chayla. Chazia de cholish le'alma. He saw that he was very, very weak. Like he had death's door. Amalahu, so he says to the people of the family, Tzvisule Zav Zvadza, prepare for him provisions. And what are the provisions? What are the mess need? Techrichim. So he's telling them, start getting the techrichim ready. He's a goner. Shroud, so it's to bury the dead person in.
Techrichim is where you bury somebody.
L'soif itpach, in the end, Rav Huna b'Reidu Rav Yeshua got better. I'll admit that Rav Papa the Messiah, and now Rav Papa is embarrassed to go and see him. You know, he said he's a dead man, and yeah. Amalei Michael, this so but he asked him what did you see? Tackle what happened over there. I mean you were pretty much gone, tackle what happened. Amalei, Ein Hochi Hava, yep, indeed that was so. My neshama actually left my body. But Amalei Ruach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Eibishter said to the Beis and Shamayla, Hayovalei Moikim Mimila, since Rav Huna, since I am not particular about what other people do to me, Loisakum Abade, then don't you be so particular with him. Give him another chance. Shanema, Noise Oven Roy Rav Pesha. Lemi knows the oven, not over pesha. Who does Eibishter forgive Averus? For somebody who's over al pesha. But then the pasuk continues, L'she'eris nachlase. That is only for the remnant of his inheritance. So, Omar Rav Acha Bachanina, Alya v'koitzla. This is like there's a fat tail with a thorn stuck in it. In other words, you have a good thing going over here. Knows the oven, but over al pesha. It seems like it should be, you know, you have a good thing going. Be over al pesha, and your Eibishter forgives you all your Averus. But there's a thorn in it. I mean, there's a footnote, there's an asterisk with fine, there's a fine print that you have to pay attention to. Lish eris nachalasa, it only applies to the remnant of Hashem's inheritance, v'lo l'chol nachalasa, not for Hashem's entire inheritance, not for the entire Jewish people. Meaning, l'misha meisim atme kishirayim, it only works for somebody who considers himself like shirayim, who considers himself like leftovers. Which one interesting explanation of that, I think what Aruch Aner says, is, you can have a person who's Mavra Amidosev because, like he said, you know what, whatever you said, whatever you did to me, you're too unimportant a person for me to even bother answering you. That's not what we're talking about here. Only if he doesn't, it's Adan Nivus. Yes, you are, you know, I should not take to heart what you're saying because, you have certain milos over me, like that explains in Paraklamid, you should always consider Hevesh Faruach with Nekal Adam. I've always realized that the other person has a certain advantage over you, even if it's a Kal Shabakalim, but nevertheless, you consider yourself a Chirayim, you have Bittul, and you realize, and you don't answer him because of that. That's what we're talking about over here.
I think that's not
okay. Rav Huna Rami. Rav Huna pointed out a contradiction in the pasuk. Ktiv tzadik Hashem b'chol drach, ktiv v'chasid b'chol ma'aseh. It says the Eibishter is just in all his ways, which means he judges perfectly according to justice. But v'chasid b'chol ma'aseh, but he's a chasid. He goes up in the mishum atadim. So what is it? V'tchil tzadik v'losayv chasid. The Eibishter. We say it in Ashrei. Yeah. First, the Eibishter is a tzaddik. First, the Eibishter wants to judge with a mishpat of MS. But then, in the end, he's a chassid. He goes lefnei mishur hadin because he realizes the average person can't live off of MS. Similarly, Rabbi Lazar Rami, k'tiv l'cha Hashem chassid. The pasuk says also in Tillim, to you Hashem is chassid. Uchtiv kiyat the shalom leish k'maseir. You pay each person according to their deed. So again, what is it? Chassid means that you go lefnei mishur hadin. You pay each person according to their deed. I mean, everybody gets exactly what they deserve. And similar idea, the tchilik yachad shalom ishkamaseh, originally it's that you pay each person according to his deed, or the say for l'chasham chosed, and in the end, to you Hashem is a chesed. Now, the pasuk seems to be the other way around then. So Tosfos says what it means is, you Hashem is a chesed. Why? Because you realize that it's not going to work if it's yachad shalom ishkamaseh. The world's not going to like this that way, yeah. And another one, Ilfai, v'amila Ilfa, Rami, Ilfai, or some say that it was Ilfa, pointed out a similar stira, k'tiv rav chesed or k'tiv emes. Among the Yerdilim, the Serachmim, we have rav chesed, that David has tremendous chesed, the emes, in truth. Emes means that there's no compromising. The Gemara, in fact, says in Sanhedrin, midas emes rav, and apel aponav. When Moshe heard, the Pasuk says afterwards, vayehem, vayemar Moshe, vayukad ayesed, and Moshe hurried up and bowed down, the Gemara says, but they were going to one opinion anyway, that midas emes rav, when he saw the midah of emes, then he fell down on his face. Like, you know, if the Abish is going to judge with emes, then nobody has a chance.
How can one go with the other?
That's the question. Well, the answer is similar idea. Similar idea, the Abish wants to do with emes, but he ends up doing with Radav Chesed. Let me first talk about why we need three different proofs. One of them is because one is about the Tzibur and one is about the Yachid, etc.
Third one?
I don't remember. Since we were talking about the Yud Gimel Midos, now we come to the Gemara that actually talks about him. The pasuk says, "Vayaver Hashem upon Vayichra." Hashem passed over in front of his face, in front of Moshe's face, Vayichra, and he called out. Amar Rav Yochanan, "Il mole mikra kosev yefshal omer." If the pasuk had not been written this way, it would be impossible for us to say it, because the pasuk is like anthropomorphizing Hashem. It's like saying that Hashem acted like a human being. It teaches us that the Eved wrapped himself up in a palace like a shliach tzibur. The herald of Moshe said a tefillah, and he showed to Moshe the order of davening. Actually, even that, Rabbi Hananel says it wasn't Hashem himself, it was a malach. But still. Amalai, he says to Moshe, calls Manchi, Yisrael Chotim, whenever the Jewish people are sinning, Yasul Lefanek HaSeder HaZeh, they should do before me like the Seder, Zani Mercha Lehem, and I'll forgive them. Which, you know, what does it mean when they do? Why are we saying doing and when you say it? So some of us say it just means it includes the business about wrapping yourself up in a talus. And by the way, this that we're saying that it was done with that Hashem wrapped himself up in a talus and then he was like a shliach tzibur, this is where we get the mucker that first of all, whenever you're saying the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachmim, you wear a talus. This is why the Chazan who does slichos before Rosh Hashanah wears a talus then, even though it's before davening. And this is also why you don't say the Yud Gimel Midos V'yachid. It's only meant for a shliach tzibur. It's only meant for a tzibur.
That's why I can put it tonight.
Yeah. Well, no, they always have a chazan put on the talus of a different thing because it's covered a tzibur. But because by Ma'ariv, you don't say that you're doing Midas Rachman.
But there is.
Brought in Shulchan Aruch. But whenever you're saying that you're doing Midas Rachman, the chazan has to be wearing a talus. We see that small Gemara over here.
Shul's put on the talus of Ma'ariv.
Yeah, I know, but that's not because you're doing Midas Rachman. That's something else. Yeah. The other Mephoshim point out, the expression Yasul Lefanek HaSeder HaZeh means more than just saying the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachmim with or without a palace. It means actually doing according to them. That you have to not just say the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachmim, you have to live according to them. Then the Eibishter is Michael. So, not enough to say it, you have to actually do it. Yeah. It says Yasul Lefanek HaSeder HaZeh. They should do before me according to the Seder. So Yasul Lefanek means you should actually act according to these. Yeah. Now, the first of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachmim are Hashem Hashem means Aniu Kodem Shiyachta Adam Vaniu La'acha Shiyachta Adam V'Yasa Tshuva. I'm the same Hashem before a person sinned, and the same Hashem, the same Midos HaRachmim after the person sinned and does Tshuva. Exactly what it sounds like, but the question is, the Eibishter treats a person the same, but the Rosh asks, what does a person, we understand why a person needs Rachmanis after they did Tshuva, but why does a person need Rachmanis before they even did an Avera? So the Rosh gives a couple of possibilities, one of them being the Eibishter knows in advance what you're going to do. Another one is specifically we're talking about, let's say a person has a thought of Avodah Zarah. If later on the person actually does it, usually Machshava Ra, the Eibishter doesn't count towards the Maisa anyway. With Avodah Zarah, he does. But the Rosh says only if the person actually ends up worshipping Avodah Zarah. If the person just has a thought of it and never actually acts on it, then that doesn't count. That doesn't count. But still, you need Midas HaRachmim for it not to count. That's Hashem, Hashem. Yeah. I saw a word from the Kotel here. If a person is thinking that I'm Kodim Shiyachta, that I haven't done any Averis yet, they need Rachmanis from the Eibishter to not become a Baal Gaiva. Having said that, by the way, Tosfos has a long discussion over here, and you can see there's a regular Tosfos and Haggah that discusses the issue, are the two names Hashem actually part of Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim? Based on our Gemara over here, it sounds like yes. We're saying they're two different Midas Rachamim. But it's not so simple. There are actually 6 or 7 different opinions among Rishonim how we parse out the words in the pasuk over there to get to Yom Midas Rachamim. They are separated by bar, and so some Mefarshim actually say the first Hashem is saying Vayavar Hashem Aponav Vayikra Hashem. He passed over in front of his face, and he called out Hashem, meaning either that Hashem called out, or that Moshe called out Hashem, and then continued. What about Hashem? Hashem Keil Rachum, etc. So according to that, only the second Hashem would be one of the Yud Gimel Midas. Another way of looking at it is that... neither name Hashem is part of the Yud Gimel Midas. The Yud Gimel Midas, Rachum, according to that way of looking at it, begin with Keil. Hashem is a descriptive term. Vayavar Hashem Aponav Vayikra Hashem, and he called out Hashem. That Hashem is Keol, Rachum, Mechanan, etc., and so Keol would be the first one of them. In other words, Hashem has all the middos of being Keol and Rachum and Chanan, etc., because Keol is also a middos of Rachum. And actually, if you look in the Siddur by Tashlich, yeah, we say the sukkum over there of Mikael Kamoicha, and above each word or each phrase is the smaller word of the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. You'll notice that Hashem Kael are all put together on the first word Mikael Kamoicha, because Afi Kabbalah, the Zoyar is one of the sources that says that the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim actually only begin with the word Kael. And then I think there are even some of Persian who say that none of them, neither Hashem nor Kael, is part of the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim that begins with Rachel. Anyway. In many places, Chassidus talks about the importance of the two Shemus Havayas, Havaya La'ela and Havaya L'Fata. So there is that, but the Zohar says that it begins with Kael, so at least as far as Tashlich, we got it. Yeah. Then the pasuk continues, Kael Rachum B'chanun, Om Rav Yehuda, Bris Krusel, the Yud Gimel Midas chain and Chazos Meikam. The Eidosh, they made a covenant about the Yud Gimel Midas that they never go back empty-handed. You say the Yud Gimel Midas, it always has an effect. What you do with the usual midas, like we said before. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hina Anochi Koreis Bris. The Eved says, behold, I'm making a covenant. What covenant? About the usual midas that we just talked about.
We have to say them loud. Each one has to say them loud. Have to be the rest of them in the morning.
No, I don't know that this is particularly Indian to say them loud. Amr of Yechnan, G'dayla Tshuva Shemakarach Zavinish Aladim. How great is Tshuva that it whips up the Gzar Din of a person. Shenemar, the pasuk says, the Emishah tells Yeshaya, look what the Yetzirah is doing to the people. Hashmein Lev Ha'amazeh, he's making the people's heart fat, covering it with a layer of fat so nothing goes in. V'ozno Hashbein, he's making their ears heavy. V'enav Hashan, he's making their eyes turn away. Pen Yirav V'enav, because the Yetzirah is concerned that they shouldn't look with their eyes. V'ozno V'yishma, and listen with their ears. Olavava Yavin, and understand with their heart. V'shav, and they'll do tshuva. V'rafalai, and they'll be healed. So we see, if they were to do tshuva, then it would rip up the Gzar Din. The Yetzer Hara doesn't want it. So therefore, the Eved is telling Yeshaya, you're going to have a tough job over here. Who says this is talking about that it means that the Gzar Din will be ripped up if they do tshuva? Maybe the Eved is saying, before the Gzar Din, they have a chance to do tshuva, but once I make the Gzar Din, it'll be too late. Amalei, no. Barofa likes it. The pasuk says that he'll be healed. What kind of situation is it where you need refuah? Have him exaudin. When you already have a bad exaudin and you have to deal with it, that's a refuah. When you're not at that point yet, you don't. It's not really called refuah yet.
A bit what Lassie said yesterday. The count can come after the zero.
I saw a vote, by the way, this Makaras Zadina Shalom, I think Ben Yehoyada says, well, the Lashon, there's a famous marshal that's brought in a number of Svarim, a king got angry at his son and ordered that that a huge rock should be thrown at him, which would kill him. Later on, he regrets, but after all, he has to carry out the Zeta. So what does he do? He orders his servants to pulverize the rock into a bunch of little pieces, and then throw all the little pieces on the sun. So fine, he'll get a couple of bumps on his head. So the same thing, like the Eved still carries out the Gzar Din, but like bit by bit, in a different way. So yeah.
Well, you can't cancel
the Zeta. No, we'll talk about it in a second. Maybe the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. What are you telling me that Shuvah can rip up the Gzar Din? A Braisa says, Hashav Ben Tayyim Mokhamah, if somebody does Shuvah between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, then he'll be forgiven. Lo shav ventayim, but if he did not do tshuva in between, afilu hevi kol eli nevoyos shabayolam, even if he brings as a korban all the rams of nevoyos, the very high quality rams in the world, and mostly no, then he won't be forgiven. Which can mean actually some of the farshim say he may do tshuva, but still there's still going to be the punishment. So you see that the tshuva doesn't rip up the gzar din. The answer is like kasha habi yachid habi tzibur. One's talking about a yachid, one's talking about the tzibur. The tzibur is what Yeshaya is talking about. For them it can be ripped up. Another contradiction. Brisa says, quoting the pasuk, "Enei Hashem alakechaba." The eyes of Hashem are constantly on Eretz Yisrael, which means itim l'tov, itim l'ra. Sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. Meaning that you can have the original gzar din made on Rosh Hashanah, but throughout the rest of the year, Mereshit Hashanah about Achos Hashanah, the Eibishter is supervising things, and sometimes that gzar din can be interpreted for good or for bad. How so? Itim l'tovah ketzad, what would be an example where it's for good? Hareshah Yisrael Roshayim Gmurim b'Rosh Hashanah, suppose that the people will complete Roshayim on Rosh Hashanah, u'poskel lehem k'shomim u'atim, and so it was decided, and based on Shamayla, that for that year there will be very little rain. L'sof chazer b'hem, later on they did tshuva. Well, l'hoisif alein yefshah, you can't add more rain, shekran nigzer v'zeder, because the gzeder has already been made. That's the question that we have over here. What do you mean the gzeder has already been made? For tzibur, you should be able to rip it up. But we'll continue the b'raisa. Elah, what the Eibishter does is fine. There's only going to be a little rain, but we'll make sure that every bit of it maximizes its potential. HaKadosh Baruch Hu merid b'zman, and the Eibishter makes the rain fall in the proper time. Al ha'aretz hatzricha lehen, on the land that needs it, hakol lefi ha'aretz, everything according to the land. In other words, instead of some of the rain getting wasted on like unplowed or uncultivated fields or the deserts or the forests or whatever, they should make sure that it only goes exactly where it's needed for the crops and only at the right time after they've been planted. Yeah. Itim l'ra'ah case, said what would be an example where it's for bad, is the other way around. Hareshah Yisrael tzaddikim gemurim b'Rosh Hashanah. Suppose the Jewish people who complete tzaddikim on Rosh Hashanah, who pass galeng shom merubim, and they wish to decide they're going to have a lot of rain, will soif chol zerbehem, later on they change their mind and become Roshayim. Lifchus mani yapshah, you can't take away the rain, shefra nigzer gzeira, because the gzeira has already been made. Elah, kodesh baruch ha'mirid, and shalav yizmanim. But the Eibishter says, fine, you'll have the same amount of precipitation, but it'll fall in the wrong times, but like, you know, when you don't need it. Allah chain it through Khalahan. On land that doesn't need it, for example, in the deserts and the forests and whatnot, yeah. Yeah. So the question is, so when they did tshuva and now it's supposed to be reinterpreted for good, why reinterpret it? Rip up the original gzar din and make a new one for good. It's a tzibur we're talking about. The answer is shiny hasam to efshe b'hachi. That's different because there is a way out, basically. The Eibishter, so to speak, would like rather not rip up the gzar din unless there's no other alternative. Here, there's a way to reinterpret the gzar din, the Torah, by making sure the rain falls in the proper time and places, so the Eibishter would rather do that. Tashma, let's bring in another proof. The pasuk says, in Tilim, Yoda Yom Ba'aniyas Ois Malach of Mayim Rabin, the people who go down to the sea in ships who do work in great water, Hemero Masi Hashem, no, this is talking about the people who go on the sea and are in danger. They see the works of Hashem, Vayyemev Yamid Ruach Sa'or, Vatarim Im Galov, and Kapitol of Zion. We say it every Shabbos. The Eibishter said, the Eibishter spoke, and a storm wind picked up, and the waves are picking up. Yechogu v'yanu kashikar, they're staggering and reeling like drunkards. The ship is going every which way. Vayitzakal Hashem atal lahem v'gamer, and they cry out to Hashem, and Hashem saves them. Yodu l'Hashem chaser, and they thank Hashem for his chesed. So, also lahem simonius ka'achen v'rakin shabbat Torah. Before and after these psukim, there are simonius, like the Achen and Rakan of the Torah, meaning that, like exceptions. We know like those backwards nuns that are in Parshas Bahalo Yischa, before and after Vahibin Soya. Similarly, in Kisveyad of Tilim, you can and in some printed editions of Tilim, you can find there are backwards nuns before and after some of these sukkim. Which means it's like an exception. Like it's not always so. Meaning, Lo Malach, the backwards nun teaches, just like Vahibin Soya, the backwards nuns, one of the meanings of them is, this parasha doesn't really belong here. Belongs elsewhere in Parshas Bamidbar. Similarly, over here, the backwards nuns tell us then that there's exceptions to the rules over here. This, the pasuk is saying that they cry out and Eibishter saves them. There's exceptions. Lo malach tzarku kodim gzar din nan, and if they cry out before the gzar din, then they will be answered. Tzarku l'ach gzar din in and nan, but if they cry out after gzar din, then it's already too late. Now the Gemara is assuming that many people on a ship is already considered a tzibur. So the question is, you're telling me then that after gzar din, then that's it. The nuns teach us that they're goners. Why? They're tzibur. They should be saved. The answer is hani nami tiyachidin damu. No, these people on a ship are still considered like yachidin. Tzibur. So either one explanation is that the tzibur literally means exactly that, the whole tzibur. Or I saw an interesting explanation from the Nitziv that says they can be considered a tzibur when everybody is concerned for each other. But on a ship, you may have a lot of people on the ship. You may have hundreds of people on a ship. But each one is looking out for themselves or their own immediate family or whatever. That's what we're talking about. That makes them yesidim. Mashenkin, if everybody's looking out for each other, that makes them a tzibur. And then they deserve to be saved even after Gmar Din, even after Gzar Din. Rishonim talk about, by the way, actually, I think the Ritva says that, as he says, in our Tillims, we don't have those backward nuns. He says, because we're going to talk about later, the Gemara is going to talk about tomorrow, that it's not so simple, this idea between the Yachid and the Tzibur. There is an opinion, Rabbi Yitzchak, that even a Yachid after the Gzar Din can still daven and be saved. So therefore, he says the backward nuns don't belong there in Tillim. However, in our Tillim Oyel Yotiv, they don't have them, but they don't have a lot of the things from the Masada, but you can find in some printed Tillims and in some Kisriyad, you can find them, because that's part of the question, whether the halacha is like that or not.